Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about Section 7.7 of the CCA manual covering NCAA umpire mechanics called situational mechanics.
Yeah, because situations could arise in any game that would cause an umpire to deviate from the standard mechanics.
Uh-oh.
No, we don't plan these, do we?
You know, not pregame deviations. That's what I heard. Matter of fact, I think I heard it on this podcast even. So.
Yeah, you've heard it there for sure. Yeah, so we don't plan them, but during a game, they certainly can happen. So umpires should read the play and adjust to the changing situations as they arise.
Yep, because the sentence there you skipped, but I think it's important here is every mechanic cannot be covered in this manual. So if we sit there and we were to ChatGPT load this manual into our brain, there are times when something's going to happen that is not going to be covered. Like we talked about a play that my son brought up to me where a Major League Baseball player had slid and taken his helmet off as he was sliding and then used his helmet to maintain contact with the bag. I don't think there's anything in the manual that actually says a player cannot use their helmet like specifically to do this. And it's like you have to know the rules well enough that you can apply, oh, this is, you know, detached equipment, or this is, you know, equipment used outside of its intended purpose, and, you know, things like that. So you've made that connection in your brain, read between the lines, applied the rule as it goes. And it, with the case of mechanics, there's something that doesn't say, listen, when a player is running and she's between 5'6 and 5'7 and between, you know, 140 and 150 pounds, then you're going to put yourself in this position to look for this kind of thing. But if they're a larger girl, then obviously you need to move a position like this so that you can see, because she's taller. And like, no, it's not all covered, and things will happen, and you can't cover every possible thing in this book. As smart as these people are, as much chess as they're playing to our checkers, like we still got to play it by ear.
Maybe even 3D chess sometimes.
Maybe.
Right. So yeah, I, as you were describing some of the things that can't be covered, something came up recently. We were playing a very important game on turf, and it had just rained. And so if you're the umpire calling the play at second base, the possible tag play at second base, better be careful about where you're standing, because that girl's going to overslide that bag.
Yeah.
She's coming, and you don't want to get taken out. And now I'm reminded of the Major League Baseball player that had to jump over the runner and then make the call at first base.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He made a really slick call too. All right. Well, thank you for pointing out that I missed that one. But the next sentence says, umpires should read the play and adjust to the changing situations as they arise. This is part of umpiring that allows you to adapt to each individual play situation as necessary. So there are some approved situational mechanics.
Now they're not situational. They're in the book.
Yeah, right? Approved situational mechanics versus unapproved situational mechanics. So let's talk just a quick second about that. And it's this you will not find in the book, but this you will find in your years of going to clinics and being questioned by maybe your clinician or evaluator. Why did you do that? So a really cool answer is, well, in that situation, I needed to move there to keep all of the elements of the play in front of me.
Yeah, because so you've fallen back to an approved mechanic, which is have all the elements in front of you.
Right.
And so what you described is, in this situation, I needed to boogie a little, do a little jazz so that I could do that. And that usually will get you out of that trouble.
It gets you out of trouble. Yeah. Well, yeah, most of the time.
Maybe. Assuming that what you did made sense.
Right. Because some of them, they might say, well, why didn't you just take a half a step to your left?
What would a reasonable person do in this situation if you fail that test?
Exactly. So the first one that they talk about here is point and go. U3 or U1 is on the line. The batter hits the ball, which is a line drive that moves quickly through the infield near the line and lands in front of the outfielder. U3 or U1 can make a fair ball call, then continue three umpire mechanics. So essentially, all fair foul belongs to the plate umpire unless somebody chases. And so what this situational mechanic says, if this one's really close to the line and it's a line drive, it cannot be a catchable ball. This ball, you can't do this if it's a catchable ball. This has to be a line drive that's close to the line. You turned around, you're closer to it than the plate umpire. You point, say, yep, that's a fair ball, and you bust your butt to second base.
Yeah.
If you're U3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that, but only if it's an uncatchable ball. That's somewhere else in the manual here too, I think. So that's not me just saying that. What's the next one? U3, point and stay.
I read it quickly first, and I thought it said point and pray. I was like,
oh, this might even be where it's at in the manual.
Yeah.
So I should have pre-read that.
So U3 and U1 must both start on the line. When there is a deep line drive down the left field line, even with or past the left fielder, that U3 takes fair foul on, You three can point the ball fair and then stay at third base for a possible play on the batter runner. You three needs to work their way back to the base, establish a good wedge position for the tag play, and verbalize that they are there. This mechanic is never in effect for a catch-no-catch. It is only fair foul on line drives. The plate umpire needs to mirror any movement by U3 and be alert to covering third base if U3 doesn't stay or returning to home plate when U3 takes third base. U1 will read that the ball is deeper and U3 must stay longer to call fair foul and will be responsible for the batter runner at first and second.
Yeah, so very similar. So what I said, right, on the point, and I said point and go, that you're going to bust it over to second base, right? Because you've got the batter runner at second if you're U3. And by the way, all of my comments have been about from the U3 position, not the U1 position. But and I think, I don't know why. I think you just see that more. So I'm not sure why, but why I'm thinking about it that way. But anyway, and then
more
this,
people are right-handed.
That could be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. More pulls than than oppo pushes. Yeah, yeah. Could be. So anyway, and then this one says point and stay. And now that really does break the mechanic. So the first one only breaks the mechanic of, hey, you took the call.
You went out and you stay out.
And then, yeah, you should be staying out, but instead you're going to go ahead and go to second, which makes it more a traditional mechanic, right? Mm-hmm. Just without the, hey, I'm going. This one says, no, I'm going to bust it all up. Everybody needs to watch what the heck's going on because I'm changing it. I'm going to stay at third base. I'm going to make the call. And then I'm going to stay here. So you won. You've got the runner at second. And plate, get off me. Don't be coming up here because I've got third. Right. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has to really pay attention on that one. This is heads up umpiring right here. This is everybody's paying attention to what's going on. And this is heads up umpiring. We know there's not going to be a play at second, right, on that particular call. Mm-hmm. So staying there at third and letting the umpire, the plate umpire stay at the plate. This is heads up umpiring right here. I like this one. What's the next one, Pete?
So it's called U3 Chases, Plate Umpire Coverage at Third Base. So U3 and U1 must both start on the line. When U3 chases a fly ball to make a catch-no-catch decision, the plate umpire needs to move into the infield or the holding zone between third base and home plate.
The what?
The holding zone. They didn't say area?
There is a holding zone in NCAA mechanics. There is.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to get up on that soapbox.
We are now canceled. Episode 73 of the podcast. We've been canceled. So holding zone between third and home. When the ball is caught with a runner on third, the plate umpire will read and be responsible for R3 at third base and home plate. When the ball is not caught, the plate umpire will move into the holding zone between third base and home plate. They will read the developing play and be responsible for all plays on the batter runner at third base and home plate. Do not commit to a calling position at third base without a pending play. When the plate umpire does commit to third base, verbalize to the crew that you are there. U1 will be responsible for the batter runner at first and second base. U1 will need to visually confirm the plate umpire has moved up towards third base for any possible play on the batter runner.
So I'm confused. I think we may have to break this one down a little bit.
I think so. I got confused reading it.
Yeah, because I think my initial confusion, so this is for our listeners, right? My initial confusion is this seems like the normal thing that we're going to do. I guess except for, no, okay, and I got it. So my brain finally caught up. Who has third base on a triple in the two umpire system or if U3 chases? Who has third base? So in college, mm-hmm. right, the plate umpire has third base on a triple.
Okay.
The U1 only has first and second. Is that right? We're going to have to look that up. I'm going to look it up right now. So in the manual, the plate umpire has the third base on a triple when U3 chases and the ball is not caught. So that's with nobody on. So in our situational mechanic here, it's telling the plate umpire you can go up to third. And so I'm still confused, Pete. Why is this one different? What's different about this?
When the ball is caught with a runner on third. So this is not nobody on.
Oh, there you go.
Is that our difference here?
Might be. So let's take a peek. I have the manual in front of me. And I have runner on second, runner on third, U3 chases. And here on U3 chases, ball is not caught. Plate umpire is in the holding zone. And U3 chases, ball is caught, plate umpire is in the holding zone. So holding zone both times for ball is caught. I think this is the regular mechanic, Pete. I'm going to have to read it again. And actually, you know what? No, perfect. I'm not going to do anything extra. Listeners, here's your homework. please explain to David and Pete. Check us out on social media. You can find us on our Facebook page. Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast is the name of the page. Or you can go to our website and comment to us there. Or if you know us, shoot me a text and tell me what an idiot I am. But why is this different? U3 chases plate umpire coverage at third base. So far, nobody on and runner at third. I believe this is the standard mechanic. So how do I have that messed up?
How do you have nobody on and runner at third?
No,
that's, you're just saying in two
situations.
And
yeah.
It works the same way in both.
Huh? Yeah, it works the same in both. So, this is fun. So let's see what the listeners have to say. They'll say, David, you're an idiot. Look,
yeah, here's why it's different. Something. There's one of those things where it's like, what's the difference between these two pictures? And you find that, a strand of hair is out of place.
Yeah, something.
We get someone, please tell us what the strand of hair is here.
There you go. Yep. All right. Next one. Force play depth. With a 3-2 count and two outs, all umpires may move to force play calling depth as all potential tag plays have been eliminated. So 3-2 count and two outs.
Yeah.
Right. And so
this is an action pitch. No matter what, something's happening.
Yep. Something's happening and it's a force. 3-2 count.
I know. I'm just being,
back to the force.
But then what's the play at first base?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you can just move back, right? Because they're not going to be tag plays anymore. There's no pickoff. There's no, if you're U1, right? And there's a runner at first. Mm-hmm. So you've got U3 rotated onto the field, ready for the steal or the play at second. Right? Mm-hmm. But U1 is 6 feet from first base. So that you're sitting there waiting on that snap throw back, to pick her off.
Yeah.
Ain't going to be one of them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Either it's a walk and she's free to mosey on, or
it's a foul ball.
Or it's a ow.
Yep. Or it's a hit. Right. So, yeah, you can go ahead and move back. Again, more advanced. I think if you see somebody do that, you're going to be like, hey, they know the manual, dude. That's pretty cool.
And that is like situation, like we mentioned, if this was baseball and you could steal, 3-2 and any like quote unquote forced runners are 3-2, two outs are off on the pitch.
Yeah, they're running.
They're stealing because it's either a walk and they're protected or the guy's out anyway. It doesn't, or it's a hit and I need to be running anyway because the catch doesn't matter. I need to be hauling. So smart runners, especially if you watch lower level, you watch like 10U or 12U, whenever they can start to steal in little baseball, anyone who's doing that, you're like, oh, that coach knows what's up.
Yeah.
Or even in softball, honestly. 3-2, they should be attempting the steal mechanic.
Rolling.
So they can't get an aggressive lead off and take off, but they can leave on the pitch and should be leaving on the
Absolutely.
Pitch. Absolutely.
Yep. They should be leaving on the pitch, and that runner at first base should be looking at the coach to see if she's coming to third.
Right.
Because, it's that way. You're busting it.
Yeah, you should be so far. You should be almost on second when the ball gets to the plate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but don't leave early because we have...
No, I was just talking about my kind of speed. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm my privilege is showing a little bit here.
You're not allowed to drive your car out there, Pete. All right.
I was going to moped it for a second.
All right. So possible trap is another situational mechanic. U1 is counter rotated. Okay. So U1 is on the field. The batter hits a fly ball that is near the line. U1 should chase on a possible trap near the line. The plate umpire has fair or foul responsibility, and U1 determines catch or no catch.
That just makes sense because the plate umpire is the one that, quote unquote, has the line here because U1 is counter rotated. They don't have that angle of the line. There's no way they could run to the line in time. So, they would not be calling that. So,
yeah. Does
the plate umpire see that? However, distance, proximity says they could easily see the trap catch, no catch situation being
exactly.
out there. So, that makes perfect sense anyway.
Exactly. Boy, pregame that. Because that I could see a plate umpire getting confused. You went. I'm not calling.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to call him. All of a sudden, he's thinking about daisies or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, all right. And then the last one that's approved situational mechanic is backfilling third base. I love this one. And I have a story to tell you about this one. So, U3 starts rotated. So, runner at first.
Yep. So, they're on the field over there behind second base now.
The batter bunts or bats a ball that rolls slowly near the first base foul line. I added first base to the manual. Don't come at me because it's important. Requiring the plate umpire to stay with the ball longer than usual to determine fair foul. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the ball's rolling up the fair foul line at first base. Plate umpire's got to be, first base extended or chasing the ball up first.
Yeah. Right? If it went in front of the plate and died, you can... point fair immediately.
Yeah.
But if the ball's rolling near the line,
and he's stuck.
Nowhere near the bag, you've got to stay with it till it stops rolling.
And if we have a savvy runner,
mm-hmm.
what's happening? Remember, that runner was at first. We have
they're going to third, they're already booking.
Going to third. Who's got third?
Oh, no.
Plate umpire's supposed to have third, right? But he had to stay. So U1 has to be ready to backfill. I'm sorry, U3 has to be ready to go cover third base. even though it's not their quote-unquote book responsibility. It is in this situational mechanic. This actually happened in, I'm pretty sure it was an ACC game. Mike was on the plate. Mike had to do this very thing, and he turned to look to make sure that U3 was backfilling third, and they weren't.
Oh.
And so he had to bust it and get as close as he could. So he got a great angle and then tried to close the distance as fast as he could and had to make a call at third.
And then so in this case, so the plate umpire stays with the ball longer. U3 should be following their runner over to third to try to get where they're going, ideally. That means U1 is responsible for any calls at first and second.
Yep.
And plate umpire beats feet back to home as soon as that fair foul is determined, and then they get a new position back at home.
And U3 covers third base. So love that situational mechanic. And what that says is, hey, base umpires, pay attention. Make sure you're watching the game. You know what your responsibilities are, but also make sure there's an umpire to cover a play, right? And so if you're watching your partners, somebody should have seen. I don't know who that was. I'm sorry. I'm not coming at you. I promise. Somebody could have seen Mike up the line staying with that fair foul ball and said, uh-oh, that girl's going to third. I got to bus it, right? And get over there and get her. Whether you read that in the manual or not, that's definitely a situational mechanic where it's like, oh, why did you go cover third? Well, my plate umpire was up the line staying with a fair foul ball.
Yeah.
So cover third, make sure it gets done. But anyway, and kudos to Mike too for recognizing that, nobody's there to make that call, you know, and so he had to go get it.
And that's one of those things where it's like almost anytime if you have to know, it's like football where like the quarterback has to know what everyone is doing on the team. You as an umpire should know what everyone else is doing. And if you see someone not doing it and that a base is good knowing to be not covered, right? Then you're the closest person, most sensible person to do it. You've got to go do it. You've got to do something to get it covered. And that's the deviations we're talking about, where it's like read between the mechanic lines and know your responsibilities, know their responsibilities. Saw they didn't get it. Saw they had no chance at getting it. And
can I go get it? Go get it. Yeah.
Right. Not just like, oh, let's have a play at third and everyone looking somewhere else.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. All right, Pete, I think we did it.
That's that section, a little short section, but good stuff, I think, to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Until next time.